following audio is from The Exchange Church. More information is available at theexchangemi.com.
Well, we will be continuing in Mark chapter 4. And so if you have a Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 4. Or if you're using one of the Bibles in the backs of the chairs, you can turn there. It's on page 839 in the Bibles that are in the back of the chairs here. Mark chapter 4. Well, we've been in Mark now since September, and we are, the title, the big idea that we've given to this series is Good News. Jesus has come. Will you follow him? And this really just gets at Mark's message. At the very beginning, verse 1, he says, the beginning. This is chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that is, in fact, what he's walking through. This is why we call it the gospel according to Mark. He's telling the good news about Jesus. And the word gospel means good news. And so when he says that Jesus has come, he says that this is good news that he has come. And so he'll explain that as he goes through here, as we've seen different acts of the mercy of God, the substitutionary work of Jesus, all of this through the first few chapters. And then he begins, as Jesus starts teaching the gospel, the very first thing he does after he teaches the gospel is he goes to some men and he says, follow me, in chapter 1. And so the gospel is calling people to follow Jesus. And most of us are sitting here because there, in some sense, have thought in our minds at some point that we either follow him or we will follow Jesus or we're interested in following Jesus or something like that. And so Jesus is not only, and Mark is not only saying follow Jesus, but he's also saying when you follow Jesus, that means particular things. And so the question within the question is also, will you follow Jesus in the way that Jesus calls you to follow him? And so this morning, as we get into chapter 4, Mark is going to examine a variety of ways and elements of how we follow Jesus, why we follow Jesus, why we don't follow Jesus, and how it can sometimes be God's plan for following him can sometimes be rather unexpected. So what we're going to do today is more of an overview of chapter 4, and then in the next couple of weeks, we're going to delve into more specifically some of the passages. But for today, the sermon big idea for chapter 4, this overview, is listen to God revealing his kingdom to the world. Listen to God revealing his kingdom to the world. And so what I'll do for us, I'm going to read the first 34 verses in Mark chapter 4, and then we will spend a few minutes walking through these. So Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And he, this means Jesus, he began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat. We'll steal a word from Alistair Begg. We'll call it the floating pulpit. He got into the floating pulpit and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came down and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears, let him hear. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed and not a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed in the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain of the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. Yet he did not speak to them without a parable. But privately, to his own disciples, he explained everything. Father, I pray that you would take your word and that you would bring us into a place of listening and hearing, that you would give us ears to hear, that we would seek to align our thoughts and our logic and our reasoning about your kingdom with what you say about your kingdom and not what we expect or want from your kingdom. And I pray that as you bring us into a place of hearing and believing and trusting what you say, I ask that you would bring manifold, multiplying fruitfulness. Amen. Well, Mark is continuing here with this theme of insiders and outsiders. We looked at over the last few weeks where you had four different types of insiders and outsiders. You had the disciples, the ones who were called by Jesus, and then you had three other types of followers. And those other types of followers were the ignorant, the foolish, and the enlightened enemies. And we walked through that in chapter 3. And here, Mark is going to continue to talk. He's actually going to use the word the outsiders compared to you who are on the inside. He's going to use this, and he's going to talk again about four different types. You're going to have the type that are you just heard there, where Satan comes and takes the word, or the word doesn't take root, or the word is choked out. You have those three types of outsiders, and then you have the insiders, where the word takes root, and it grows up, and it bears fruit. And so he's going to continue to use this theme, but as he's using this theme, he's going to expand the theme to begin to talk about the kingdom of God in the world. And so Jesus moves locations. He's been in chapter 3. He's been sitting in a house. He's been teaching in a house. He gets up. He walks out. He's out on the beach. There are too many people. He jumps in the floating pulpit. people are interested in the preacher in the floating pulpit and come out to listen to him. And so what we're going to do as we walk through this, and as we give an overview to this, we're going to trace Mark's themes through the first 34 verses of the chapter. And we're going to do this in three points. Number one, God is teaching us about his kingdom. Number two, listen to the word of God. And number three, what is Jesus, the word of God, teaching us? And so number one, God is teaching us about his kingdom. Now, this is going to be pretty basic. I really want to be able to, as we teach through the word, I want to give you tools to know how to read the word as well, how to study it on your own. And so I just want to show you, maybe you mark in your Bible sometimes, maybe you have a little pencil or something, you highlight in your app or something, and in a year from now, you're reading through the Bible, you come to Mark, you've forgotten that I ever taught on Mark, but maybe you have some notes there that are helpful to you at that time. And so I just want to show you here, we're going to do this with God speaking about his kingdom and us listening. So watch here. When we begin at the first verse, watch what Mark does as he piles up a word so that we recognize what Jesus is doing, that Jesus is the one speaking. In verse 1, again, he began to teach. Jesus is teaching, okay? And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and sat in the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And in case you forgot, he was teaching. And in case you still have missed the point of what Jesus is doing, he's teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching, he said, teach, teaching, teaching. He is teaching. Jesus is teaching. God is speaking here. And he continues on as he goes. You come down to the end of the section, and we see it again. We see in verse 33 that it is Jesus who is speaking. He is speaking, and he is, in verse 34, explaining. Who's speaking? Who's talking? It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who has the voice in this chapter. And so Mark is bracketing, reminding, telling us that Jesus is the one who's teaching and speaking all throughout here, that it is God teaching us. Well, what is he teaching us? He's teaching about his kingdom, which makes sense. If you turn back to chapter 1, when Jesus comes, you see this in verses 14 and 15, that Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What is Jesus teaching? He's teaching about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. And so when we come into Mark chapter 4, and we encounter Jesus' longest teaching so far in the entire gospel of what we've run into yet, when we find him teaching, it's not surprising that we would find him teaching on the kingdom. And in fact, look here at the beginning. If you remember, a little side note here, if you remember, I've made a comment, Mark makes sandwiches. He's like, if you remember the cartoon, Dagwood and his midnight sandwiches. Mark loves the sandwiches. He's writing and he creates sandwiches. And so what he does is he begins a story, he tells some of the story, he gives the account, and then he stops right in the middle of it. And then he goes over here and he tells you something else that relates, but it's not the same thing. And then it's kind of the meat of the sandwich. Then he comes back and he puts some nice bread on the bottom. He finishes out the story that he started with and he makes his narrative sandwich. And that's exactly what he does here. Jesus tells the parable, and then in verse 10, when he is alone and the people are around him and they ask him about the parables, what does he say? He says to them, to you has been given the secret, and here we go, the secret of the kingdom of God. So he's telling us this parable is about the secret of the kingdom of God. He's revealing more about the kingdom of God. And then as he continues on in verse 26, and he moves on to another parable of seeds. What does he say? The kingdom of God is as if. Kingdom of God again. And then in verse 30, another seed parable with what can we compare the kingdom of God. So what do you have? You have Jesus is teaching. God is speaking. What is he speaking about? He's speaking about his kingdom. So now you have who's speaking and you have what they're speaking about, the secret of the kingdom. Now, A side note here, the word in, if you go back to verse 11, where it says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, that word in Greek is actually, it almost sounds exactly like our word mystery. It's mysterion. Mysterius, mysteriu. Sounds like mystery, but here's the problem. This is why your English translators don't write mystery here. When you hear mystery, you think something that's hidden and is hard to figure out. We need a detective to figure it out because we're not smart enough, so we need a smart detective to figure it out. The issue with that is that for first century readers, they only heard the first part of that definition. When they heard mystery, they heard something hidden. So we use our word secret. This isn't something that's hard to figure out. It's something that needs to be revealed because it's hidden. And so as we're reading here, Jesus says that to you has been given the secret. The secret's been revealed. They won't understand all of it, but they understand enough of it. And so when he says this, we shouldn't be reading going like, oh man, now this is going to get really complicated. No, it's not that it gets complicated. It's that something was hidden, and now it's being revealed, and it's being revealed by Jesus. Now, within this teaching on the kingdom, we're going to come back to some of this in just a minute. But he's teaching us some things about the kingdom. We're going to revisit it a little today and then in the coming weeks. One of the things that Jesus does as he's teaching on the kingdom is that he gives reasons why many people don't believe. Have you ever wondered to yourself why it is that you could share the gospel repeatedly over a long span of time with someone and they don't believe, and then you share the gospel with someone else and they believe immediately? That's strange. Why did they believe immediately and this other person over here continually rejects the gospel? Have you ever wondered why it is that so many people the world over don't believe and only a few do believe? Jesus is getting at that. He's telling us what Paul will get to in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that Satan is blinding people. There are some people that you share the gospel with that Satan is just right there, taking it, blinding people to the gospel. There are some people that don't believe the gospel because of persecution and hardship. There are other people that you will share the gospel with who will never believe the gospel because they care about the world more than they care about Jesus. They love the world more than they love Jesus, even though they might like religion. And then the hard teaching, which we're going to spend more time on next week, some people don't believe because, as Jesus says here, he intentionally hides it from some people so that they can't see it. You see that in verses 11 and 12. He tells the disciples, to you the secret of the kingdom of God has been given, but for those outside, everything is in parables. Why? So that they may indeed see, but not believe. The purpose is that they might see it, but not perceive it. So Jesus teaches in a way that they might hear, but not understand. Because if they did understand, what does he say? They would turn and be forgiven. But he says, I'm teaching in a way that they can't hear, they can't see and turn and be forgiven. And so some people won't believe because this is what God is doing. And then verse 11 also, with the kingdom of God, reveals why some people do believe. Why do the disciples believe? To you has been given the kingdom of God, the secret of the kingdom of God. This gets into a little bit of an English lesson, which I know some of you are thankful to have never had to take another one of those classes again, and some of you are dreading the fact that you're going to have to tomorrow. But in English, there's something about verbs. There is the active and the passive. Now, I can illustrate this by saying I was on a bike ride, and I began to fall, and I grabbed hold of a tree so that I would not fall. Now, that is an active, true story, that I grabbed hold of it, and what happened there? I took the action and grabbed the tree so that I would not fall. Now, another true story is that I was riding my bike, and a branch grabbed me by my helmet, and I fell. That is also a true story, but that is in the passive. I did not do the action. The branch grabbed me. That grabbed by the branch is in the passive. This here is in the passive. To you has been given. Not that you took, but that it was given to you. With the implication that God has given the secret of the kingdom of God to the disciples. So when we are sharing the gospel and someone believes, it is because God gives them the ability to hear and to see. It's part of the secret of the kingdom of God. And even though many will not believe, the gospel seed of the kingdom of God is meant to be spread everywhere. I don't know if you've never noticed this when you read this parable, but this particular guy that's out sowing the field, he's very wasteful. Have you ever noticed that? He just throws some seed over on the path. He's, oh, there's some rocks. Maybe I should throw some seed over there. Oh, that looks like a thorny spot. I'm going to put some seed there. Oh, there's some good soil. Well, no, he's not even really thinking in those terms. What is he doing? He's just out throwing. He's sowing seed. He's just out sowing the seed around. And this is what the gospel word is meant for, to be thrown everywhere, to entrust God with the result of people believing. In fact, Jesus will say in verses 21 and 22 that that which is hidden is meant to be eventually spread abroad. Well, what is he talking about? He's talking about the light of the kingdom is to be spread abroad. We also need to remember, as Jesus is teaching on the kingdom, that even when we don't understand how the kingdom could grow, or it seems like the kingdom will not grow, it will still grow. In verse 26 and 27, Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how." There are people and there are places. This morning I was just thinking about and remembering one of my relatives was a missionary in Asia for a considerable amount of time, planted churches there in places where it was illegal to plant churches. And they would go into these massive cities and they would just start meeting people. And most of the people, in some way, shape, or form, were either deeply spiritual with the local religion or they were atheists and had no interests in the kingdom of God. And yet, as they met people, they would begin to just start to spread seed. And then one person would believe. And many times it was a very unlikely person would believe the gospel. And then through that one person, the gospel would begin to spread and the church would begin to grow. It was extremely unlikely. And there was no explanation outside of the fact that God made the decision to grow his church in that location. And there are some of us that might be in a place where we look and we go, it doesn't make any sense that the gospel would grow here. Joe, you don't know my coworkers. Joe, you don't know what my family's like. If you knew what my family was like, you would know I never need to spend time sharing the gospel with them. They are such a mess and it's just never going to happen. And the teaching of the secret of the kingdom is that you have no idea how or where or how big it might grow. You might plant something as tiny as a mustard seed in your workplace, and it could turn out to be like a massive tree to the glory of God. And you don't know. And so we're reminded and we are encouraged that God grows his kingdom even when we don't understand how that might happen. And so what do we do then? As Jesus is speaking, as Jesus is teaching us about the kingdom, what is our response when God speaks like this? Well, Jesus tells us. It's point number two, listen to the word of God. Now, this is the main theme running through these verses. Jesus tells it with an active command in verse 3. Listen. And then that next word, it's kind of unfortunate that the ESV does this. They say, behold. I have never been hanging out with somebody and been like, behold, that's never happened before. And so it's a little weird. I understand it's kind of old language. But really what this is, it's a way of Jesus saying, listen, look, pay attention to what I'm going to say. And this is repeated multiple times, 11 more times after this. So we have in Mark 4:3, listen, behold. And then in verse 9, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then in verses 10 and 11, he speaks again, 10, 11, and 12, he speaks again of hearing. And then in verse 15, 16, 18, 20, he goes through. The word is sown in verse 15, and what happens? They hear. Verse 16, again, the word is sown, and what happens? They hear. Verse 18, the word is sown again, and what happens? They hear. In verse 20, the word is sown, and they hear. And so in verse 23, what does he say? Anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, he's repeating over and over and over and over. What do we need to do? We need to listen and hear. In case you've completely missed what Mark is getting at, in verse 24, he has Jesus again, accounts him saying, pay attention to what you hear. And then in verse 33, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. Over and over and over and over, Mark is saying, this is about listening. This is about hearing. This is about paying attention to what Jesus is saying about his kingdom. There are many, many voices calling you and calling me to listen to them. You have voices within your family, within your workplace, your friends, on social media, and they're all wanting your ear. Those voices might point you to Jesus, maybe, but none of those voices are Jesus. When you turn on Netflix or log into Amazon Prime, you have voices calling you to listen to a variety of narratives about this world. Very few of those voices are pointing you to Jesus, and I can promise you that none of those voices are Jesus. There are many religious and spiritual voices. I can get on Facebook at any given time and scroll through reading many people who aren't believers and who would say that they don't follow Jesus at all, but are communicating religious and spiritual concepts about being positive and happy and about how things are going to turn out well if you follow particular spirituality. But none of those voices are Jesus. There are many voices who wear the name Christian. I could take you to them right now. Deactivated because it was just a whole bunch of voices that I didn't need to be listening to or hearing in any way that would stand up and open the Bible and preach, but they would preach like motivational speakers, but not with the gospel. And there are many believers who will listen to someone simply because they wear the name Christian, but it's not the voice of Jesus. There is one Jesus who speaks to us, and his words are found here. And it's a very, very simple question for us, especially, listen, I already touched on it. You know where some of this is going. There is a very, very, very hard passage right in the middle of this that we're going to look at next week. And when we read things like this, it is very easy for us to read it and say, that doesn't make sense. I'm going to go find another voice that will make sense to me, because Jesus' voice doesn't make sense. It's very easy to do. And as we walk through and as we follow Jesus, it's very easy for us to end up like Peter, who later rebukes Jesus because he says, I hear what you're saying and you don't make sense. So let me be the voice. Let me give you another voice because your voice doesn't make sense. And it's worth stopping here in this place where over and over and over and over, Mark is telling us, listen to Jesus, to stop and say, do I? Do I listen to Jesus? Even when Jesus doesn't make sense to me, do I listen to Jesus? Do I believe Jesus even when what he's saying isn't logical to me? Or do I go find other voices that make it make sense because Jesus makes me uncomfortable? There is one Jesus who speaks to us, and he speaks to us in his word, and Mark is telling us through the power of the Holy Spirit over and over and over and over, listen to Jesus. And so if we listen to Jesus, what is he saying? I don't know if we'll get to all of these, so I numbered them, so if I skip around, I will just tell you which number it is. But Jesus is teaching at least, we're going to go through this quickly, so don't worry, at least 9 different truths about the kingdom of God. Jesus is teaching us, number one, that God works in human paradoxes. God works in human paradoxes. Here's what I mean by that. In verses 11 and 12, Jesus tells the disciples, I teach in parables so that people can't understand me. And at the same time, he says, as I'm teaching through these parables, the point of these parables is that the kingdom of God is going to grow exponentially as I teach in a way that people can't understand. Now, I don't know about you, but when I teach, I try to make sense. Because then people will listen to me, and potentially the church may grow, or potentially this or that may happen that I want to have happen. Jesus says, my goal is that the kingdom would grow exponentially. So I'm going to teach in a way that you can't understand. That doesn't make sense. That is a massive paradox. It's funny to me how the church takes even something like this and says, it doesn't make sense, so we're going to make sense of it. One of the most influential church growth magazines, which is now just a digital magazine, in the United States, published an article, and the article is entitled, 9 Ways, whenever I see these, it just makes me chuckle, 9 Ways You Can Preach Like Jesus. And in the article, this is what they write, as you are aware, Jesus told countless parables. He pulled spiritual truths from everyday life. Not only did these stories make his teaching more memorable, they also connected in a much more profound way. Jesus often used object lessons to communicate concrete truth to his listeners. When he told the parable of the sower, there is a good chance he was standing near a field. Visually communicating truth is far more powerful than only spoken truth. Do you hear what's happening right there? This article is saying, go tell people the parable of the sower. Do things like that because Jesus did that so people would understand. But no, Jesus says, I did this so people won't understand. We encounter Jesus and he's a paradox. He looks irrational to us. And so what is the natural inclination of the church is to say, yeah, it didn't make sense. Ah, I understand. You didn't mean that. You meant the thing that actually makes sense, which is what this article does. It takes it and it flips it around. It says, that doesn't make sense. This makes sense. Jesus speaks in paradoxes that would not make sense to us. In order, we read this morning from John 1, in order to bring life, what does Jesus do? He dies. That doesn't make sense. None of his disciples thought, oh, I know, the best way for Jesus to be a Messiah is to go get himself crucified. In fact, they said, we rebuke you, Jesus. Don't do that. you don't make sense, Jesus. Why? Because the kingdom of God comes in paradoxes. But it was through Jesus' death that he brings life. And through a mysterious working of giving the secret of the kingdom, he grows the kingdom even when it doesn't make sense to us. Number two, Jesus is teaching us that he is the seed. We're going to look at this more next week, but when Jesus teaches these parables about the seed, we're going to get into Isaiah 6, what Jesus is quoting from here. And what we find there is that Jesus is the seed. The gospel communicated is always about Jesus. It is never about someone else or something else. It's always about Jesus. Jesus is the seed. Jesus also teaches us, we made mention of this a few minutes ago, that the gospel message about him must be spread everywhere. It must be spread everywhere. I am an ardent, convinced, convictional Calvinist. And many times people will say, well, if it's true that God elects unto salvation, then why evangelize? Because God has said this is how he will grow his kingdom. He's called us to spread the net wide, to cast the seed far, and watch him work with power in great mystery. And even as we do this, even as we spread the seed far and wide, number four, Jesus teaches us that many will hear, but few will believe. Many will hear, but few will believe. Do you remember when Jesus gathered a megachurch? About 15,000 people? It's in John chapter 6. He does it a couple of times, but John chapter 6 is the clearest one. In John chapter 6, Jesus gathers a megachurch. And they are there. He packages the message. You know what he packages it with? Fish and chips. That is how you draw a crowd. Some fish and chips, everybody's showing up. And that's what he does. He's got 15,000 people there, and he's got fish everywhere. He's got bread everywhere. And they are having a feast, and people are being healed. And it's amazing, and Jesus has succeeded. So you know what he does? He starts to preach. And he starts to preach, and by the end of John chapter 6, there are 12 men standing around Jesus. And he says to them, "Will you leave me too?" And then he says to the 12 who stay, "And one of you will betray me." What do we see in this parable? There are many who hear. There are many who would even begin to seem like they believe, but there are few who do believe. This is illustrated in Jesus' ministry, and then Jesus makes it very clear that the way to destruction is wide, the gate into eternal life is narrow. Many will hear, few will believe. Number five, Jesus is teaching that those who believe will believe by the power of God. And I want to put these two together. We've had more, I know we got a little crowd. Let's think about last week when we had twice as many people here this last week. We have had more people who have come through the doors of this gathering and left and not come back than we had here last week. Let me say that again. We've had more people come and leave and not come back than we had last week. And I'm going to just tell you something. I set out to plant a church. And there's no church planter that I know that set out to plant a church who's like, "I want a little church." All the church planters that set out to plant churches are like, "I want a big church." And most of them are like, "I'm going to have 1,000 people in 6 months," which no one does. But it's besides the point. It is very hard to do the work of ministry. And some of you who've been with us along the way, you know this. You've sat in the homes. You've sat in Tim Hortons. You've sat at Elbow Room. You've gone to people's houses, and you've discipled, and you've ministered the gospel. And then 3 months later, 6 months later, 2 years later, you get ghosted. And they're gone. And the first thought is, what did I do? What did I do? I did it. I screwed it up. I messed it up. They're gone. It's my... Many will hear, but few will believe. And Jesus set this up. And I go, okay, if he set this up, I can trust that, even in the pain of people walking away. So can you. When you pour in the hours and you start to love somebody and they leave, you say, okay, I don't understand, but I can trust that you said many will hear, but few will believe. And what we said with number five, those who do believe will believe by the power of God. I believe the gospel because I was preaching Galatians chapter 3 and God went, that's my grace. And I went, whoa. And some of you believe here today because at one point in time you were hearing the gospel and you didn't believe and all of a sudden you went, I believe. I see it. I believe it. This is my hope. This is my only hope. You believe it, you follow him. Why? Because of the power of God. Matthew Henry puts it this way, reflecting on this chapter. Those who know the secret of the kingdom of heaven must acknowledge that it has been given to them. They receive both the light and the sight from Jesus Christ. And that's our ministry. We trust that he will work through his grace and his sovereign power to save. Number six, Jesus teaches that the condition of the heart, more than the package of the message, determines the response to the message. I'll say that one more time. The condition of the heart, the soil of the heart, more than the package of the message, determines the response to the message. There are preachers and churches all around. I have friends who belabor, how do I get the lights just right? How do I get the smoke just right? How do I get the sound just right? How do I get the illustration just right? How do I make the apologetic argument just right so that people will believe? Let's get everything just so, make the arguments perfect so that people will believe. And Jesus is saying, if you're sowing, and when it falls on hard soil, when it falls on rocky soil, when it falls among thorns, they won't believe. But when the soil is good, then they will believe. Now, this doesn't mean that we're like, well, okay, so we're just going to be jerks and boring and weird. And no, it doesn't mean that. It means that we continue with kindness, communicating with love the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number seven, Jesus is teaching that the gospel is meant to be spoken and heard. Mark is making the point, the gospel is to be heard. Paul says this in Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We speak the gospel. So this gets rid of the apocryphal nonsense attributed to Francis of Assisi, where people attribute this to him, even though he never said it, preach the gospel and when necessary use words. That is not true. The Bible calls us to speak the gospel with words so that people may hear the message of the gospel. Number eight, Jesus is teaching us that in order to understand the gospel of the kingdom, we must give very careful attention to the word of God. And then finally, number nine, Jesus is teaching us that hearing with faith does not mean full understanding, but a desire to understand and a willingness to be transformed by the word. I want you to see this. Jesus tells this parable. And when he was alone, this is in verse 10, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about, how would you finish that? They asked him about what? I would say they asked him about the parable of the sower. But they didn't. They asked him about the parables. they didn't understand him. Any of them. Like, what are you doing? I don't understand what you're saying. These are the men that Jesus called, and they didn't have full understanding. What does Jesus do? Verse 34. Privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Do you see in this, in the giving of the secret of the kingdom of God, that the ones that Jesus called, they don't even fully understand everything. And in his grace and his mercy, even though he says, if you don't understand this one, how are you going to understand any of them? I'm going to explain it to you. You hear that? This is Jesus' posture toward you. And Jesus isn't over here like, oh, come on, get it together. You know, figure it out. Why? What's wrong with you people? No. Jesus is saying, oh, you don't understand? How do you not understand? Okay. Let me explain it to you. This is his grace and his mercy to those who he has called, that he is gentle and he is kind. This is what he does for those whom he has rescued into his kingdom.